my name is Charles Lockman. The book is called Footsteps in the Snow, and it's published by Berkeley Books. You can get more information about it on Amazon.com or iTunes or in your local bookstores. And the website is footstepsinthesnowbook.com.
How would you like me to identify you other than author?
You could certainly reference me, if you want, as executive producer of Inside Edition.
I'm always curious about how authors get immersed in what they get immersed in. What led you to be interested in this very, very cold case?
Well, I actually had a bit of a Truman Capote moment. Not that I'm comparing myself to Truman Capote, but the legendary story is that he was reading the Sunday Times with his close pal Harper Lee in his Brooklyn townhouse, and he read this little item, an AP story about the slaughter of the family in Kansas. And I kind of had a similar moment with my wife. I was reading the Sunday Times, and there was just a little box of an item about the arrest of a fellow for a crime that had been allegedly committed back in 1957. So I looked at my wife. I write books, and I said, "This sounds interesting." And I started looking into it, checking it out, reaching out to the families involved, and getting their cooperation. And a number of years later, a book.
It was really against all odds, wasn't it, that this case was ever prosecuted?
Oh, totally. Never in American history has there been an arrest, a trial, much less a conviction for crime committed in such a distant past. I mean, just realize that the convicted felon was 18 years old at the time that he kidnapped and murdered this little 7-year-old girl back in 1957. He was in his mid-70s when he was arrested.
And you don't really think that people truly make deathbed confessions, but that's what got this case rolling.
Oh, totally. It was 1994, decades after the kidnapping and murder of Maria Ridolph, and an elderly woman who lived in hometown of Sycamore, Illinois, was dying of cancer. And two of her daughters were in the hospital room caring for her, when suddenly she called out, Jan, that was her daughter's name. And she grabbed her daughter Jan by the hand and said, I have to tell you something. And Jan said, what? Her mom said, John did it. John did it. John meaning her son. And instantly Jan knew that she must be talking about the kidnapping of Maria Ridolph. And that's what triggered this whole thing. It's something out of fiction. It's something that you see in the movies and you say, oh, that's totally disbelievable, but it happened.
You met this guy who now calls himself Jack McCullough. Do you have any doubts that it was him?
I don't have any doubts. This was, as you pointed out, a difficult case to not only bring to trial, but to get a conviction. And there are still mysteries here. He never made a confession. He still absolutely insists that he's innocent, but after really spending 3 years investigating this story, talking to all the people involved, looking at the evidence, I came away convinced that that he did do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if the case was overturned on appeal.
Ah, he is everyone described him as a true, or just about everybody, except his new family now, I guess, described him as a really evil character, that they just got a creepy feeling around him. Did you?
Totally. His own siblings turned on him. They described him as an evil monster. And I found him to be creepy. An egomaniac, a guy who thought he was always the smartest person in the room. Very frequently he was, but not all the time. And one of the interesting things about this story is that he passed a lie detector test back in 1957 when he was originally a suspect. The FBI brought him in, sat him down in a hotel room, which was their command post for this investigation, wired him up, and he passed with flying colors. Well, back then, we didn't know that a psychopath who believes in his own set of lies could conceivably pass a lie detector test. And in the decades that followed, forensic science has come to realize that. And I do believe that in his own mind, he may believe that he is innocent, but that's part of his craziness.
And it was said, I don't know how many times Maria Rudolph would, her name would be mentioned, and when he would recall those days in Sycamore, Illinois, it would he would get this almost beatific look on his face where he would talk about creepy all those years later, like he was remembering a lost love.
Oh, totally. It was a classic classic behavior of a pedophile. Oh. He would go, ooh, and ah, whenever her name was mentioned. He would describe in terms that a boyfriend would use to describe a long-lost girlfriend. She's 7 years old. He talked about her big brown eyes, and she was a Barbie doll, and how everyone in this small town saw her as this this little angel, and his voice would go soft, and it was creepy.
When will Footsteps in the Snow be on TV? I understand there's a TV movie made about the case.
There is a documentary that airs on the LMN network on November 12th at 8 p.m. East Coast time. I have to say it's a brilliant work. It's based on the book, same title, Footsteps in the Snow, and it is just a riveting account of this fascinating case. We found amazing footage of Jack McCulloch, the convicted killer, back in the 1970s when he was a kind of a Hugh Hefner wannabe. He was a photographer, and the footage shows him at work down to the Hugh Hefner pipe, the mustache, looking sleek and very professional with a bunch of naked models. And for photographing them. And this is one of his M.O.s. He would try to convince a lot of beautiful women to pose naked for him for his photography business, which was really just him and a bunch of cameras. He really didn't make a living as a photographer. One of the creepiest allegations against him is that he photographed his own daughter, who was later found murdered, although he's not a suspect in that case, in very provocative poses. And it was found by his wife, number three, and she found these shots in a envelope and opened it up, saw the shots of her stepdaughter, obviously taken by her father because she recognized his kind of handiwork as a photographer. She confronted him with the images and said, "What is this?" And he just shrugged it off and moved on. But it's yet another illustration of the behavior of a pedophile.
Was it difficult to let go of this story?
Well, I found the work fascinating. I appreciated the confidence and cooperation of all sides on this story, both the Rudolph family, the witnesses, and also Jack McCulloch and his family. And books consume you. This, though, was a once-in-a-lifetime story. A lot of true crime books are written, but this is special. I just found the whole idea of a crime that had been committed 55 years in the distant past to be brought up on criminal charges today to be amazing, and how that process happened. And I think it taught me a couple of things. It taught me that these are humble people, but they lived epic lives. Imagine the hero of the book is a female taxi driver. Interesting. And I also found that, and I believe in this, that this is not a bank robber who robbed a bank in 1957, went on with his life and became a good citizen, raised a family, and you kind of, all right, you find him 55 years later, you probably forget about it. Your life moves on. This is a vicious crime. He took the life of a seven-year-old girl, and some crimes cannot be forgiven, and I think this is one of them.